What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, Millennials.
And welcome back to The Toast. Happy Monday, which should be unbelievably disgusting, but it's not, because Jax returns to the podcast. Today's audio only, Jax Extravaganza is here.
Hey, Turdy Lou.
Hey, Jax. How are you, Dern?
I'm good. Thank you for holding it down for me last week.
It's a pleasure.
You will be also holding some things down this week. I know you have your schedule ready to go and you're really excited about it.
I can't wait to post, like, back to the maternity days, you know?
Oh, yeah. So I won't be on for the remainder of this week, but I wanted to podcast today because I feel up to podcasting. And I've been going through some things, some personal things that I'm not quite ready to share yet with everyone. I will eventually, but I did want to still do an episode and also like address that my absence, but I'm just not ready to talk about some stuff, but I will. And you guys, you know where to find me. So I won't be podcasting all week because I know Turdy wants to do video.
Yeah, and you know me and my video.
Yeah, she's desperate.
The IT department
to be in front of the camera.
The IT department does not fuck around at Toast.
No, it does not. So Claudia's going to be guesting, you know, making the most thirsting, you know, for the podcast, which we love. And I love to be a toaster. But I did have the bandwidth to podcast today and I really wanted to. And there's so much going on. So it needed to be original recipe.
Listen, Jax, you take your time emotionally, physically. You take your time and just know Turdy's got you.
Thanks. Turdy-luia.
So we're just going to do a regular episode today. Like, thank God Jax is back. So much is going on. Taylor, Joe, Olivia, Christian, the Dalai Lama.
Yeah. The Dalai Lama didn't make it into the Fast Five.
Oh, shit.
Because you wanted me to choose this turnt story about the movie you saw yesterday.
Yes, I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay. But we should talk about the Dalai Lama because he's kind of canceled.
Yeah, he issued an apology.
Welcome to the club.
Which is like a crazy thing. But then like when you see what he's apologizing for, it's like, oh, maybe you should apologize.
It's a little yikes.
Yeah, he was like asking a kid to suck on his tongue. I don't know. Like, I can't.
I don't know.
Even the Dalai Lama is not sacred. I don't know all the details, so I'm not going to comment on it.
But like, but you just see the video and it seems like enough.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's
so
hard.
Your official comment is no comment.
My official comment is I'm confused and I don't know what's going on. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand. Plus, I'm not familiar like with the Dalai himself and his teachings. And maybe like tongue sucking is a big part of his ethos. And who are we?
It's true. To like judge other cultures.
No, for real. It could be something like that. Like you just.
Yeah, for sure. Moving on. Actually, my only real, like, I know it's going to sound so dumb. Like, I don't really know what the Dalai Lama does. Like, I know he's like a healer and like a spiritual leader. And what I do know about him, I know from the NXIVM documentary, because he actually visited NXIVM. It was like Keith Raniere, the leader.
Strike two.
Yeah, it was like his biggest goal to get the Dalai Lama. And he worked all of his celebrity connections and he got the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama came to Albany, I think. And it was kind of like the craziest part of the NXIVM documentary. Like, it was bizarre. There's always like a weird celebrity.
Yeah, like the LuLaRoe one. Remember they had Katy Perry.
Performed at their concert.
Yeah.
Also, the WeWork one, they had like a Gwyneth Paltrow and Ashton Kutcher cameo for some weird.
I think the wife is Gwyneth's cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been watching Gwyneth on Shark Tank a little bit.
We watched that one episode together.
Yeah.
Was there
and
another
I got
one?
The diapers.
Yeah. What were they called? Kudos?
Kudos diapers. They're good. My overall review was good. Don't take your kids swimming in them because it exploded. Like, there was, like, I didn't even know what's
like
on the inside of a diaper. No, it's, like, beads.
Ew.
Yeah, it just got like too saturated. Okay. But you should use swim diapers anyway, yeah, if you're swimming, whatever. Overall, and I would size up in them. That's mm-hmm. all I would say. But the material's good.
There was another episode with Gwen.
There was another episode with Gwen.
Yeah, we're like on a nickname basis.
And
Gwen.
She invested in an interesting product.
Was
with
it the
Lori.
Ashes?
No.
Oh, I saw something about like a company that like helps deliver your ashes in a more humane way, because usually they just arrive in like a clear trash bag.
That wasn't from our Dear Toasters.
No, I know. I was thinking about Dear Toasters.
No, it's similar-ish. Okay. It's a company that freeze dries your breast milk. So usually breast milk in the freezer lasts like from 6 months to a year, and it starts losing nutritional value after 3 months. But you can send it to this company. They'll freeze dry it, and then it becomes like this powder. And you can use it for up to 3 years, like putting it with water in a bottle, or even like sprinkling it like nutritional yeast over right. your toddler's food. And they get like the benefits of breast milk for years to come.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was interesting.
It's very complex.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be the next big thing.
Hmm.
I don't.
Tough. Who do you think is the most successful guest shark in terms of investments they made on Shark Tank, not like famous before?
Probably Turdy Lou Freebush.
Yeah. I loved her episodes. I wish I would bring her back.
Yeah. She was like really polarizing though.
Yeah. No, she had like a really kind of smart business acumen.
Yeah, yeah. She did.
Speaking of TV recap, we have a lot to recap today.
We have so much to recap because you are caught up and I've been watching Love is Blind.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Like, I know it's like taking the world by storm. So I wanted to watch it because yeah. it seemed like an actually good season, and it was good until a point.
My God, they drag everything out, and we watch the same people have the same conversations. Just one time they're doing wedding dress shopping, and one time they're doing a boudoir photo shoot.
No, and also it's like ordinary people are just not that interesting. So and true. I don't want to hear you guys have a conversation about ranking your favorite fruits. Like, yeah, that's not such compelling to me.
And I know she's polarizing, but like, where's Irina?
I know.
She disappeared.
Well, she's irrelevant now to the show.
But there are people who aren't in relationships who are invited to like the cast parties and stuff because they're still a part of like the plot, like that guy Josh. And you know, Irina has beef with Micah, she likes Paul, and then she has an ex. She's actually like really tangled in the web.
Yeah, like production should be inviting her around.
Yeah, just to start stuff.
No, I thought the season was going to be good, like the couples that emerged were good, but then we go into this weird holding period where it's like I have no idea what these people actually think and feel, if they really do plan on getting married, or now they're acting for us just to get to the wedding, just to make a big speech about how I'm choosing me.
Yeah. Well, okay. So that's the thing with Love is Blind and why it was so great the first time, is that nobody knew it was going to be on Netflix. People really just were like doing it for an experiment, not to get famous. And like the show didn't have this cult following. So it was just people who were like actually really down to try something new. And they also, they concentrated in the Atlanta area. And I just feel like people from Atlanta are just like, I don't know, like funny and like worldly. And it was just good. The Seattle.
We're definitely getting a lot of Seattle.
Yeah, yeah, no. And
a lot of Seattle energy.
This is so not like a knock on Seattle. It's a beautiful, very toasty city. But like there's definitely like a culture there where everyone's like a little weird and granola-y. And
no, like the conversations that Paul and Zach
yeah,
have.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Wouldn't happen in any other city.
No, so it's just like I feel like, and this is the longest season, I couldn't believe that I was watching episode 12 and weren't even at a wedding yet. Like, so it's just a lot of content for like a group of people that I just don't think are like that interesting, especially once they go home and they're all working. Like, it's always interesting in the pods and then on vacation, like they're having sex for the first time. Now at home, like it's just sad.
I do agree. And who from the season were people saying that you look like?
Oh, shut up. I wish, why did you bring that up?
Because I remember you showed me a video of her.
Yeah.
But was it Irina? Because she was apologizing for being insensitive.
Yeah, it was Irina.
And they think that you look like Irina.
Yeah, they think I look like Irina. When actually the only thing me and Irina have in common is we both apologize for being insensitive. No, like
I don't think you look like Irina. Honestly, like they're... I'm not even going to
say it.
There's someone else that I thought that maybe people were saying that you looked like.
Still, Amber?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just because she's chubby and brunette.
No,
and that's like my whole thing.
Just brunette.
No, like
Turdy
seriously.
Lou, you're like not really chubby anywhere. You're going to have to like shed this.
I was just talking to, I think it was Remy about that. Like I made a joke. My whole sense of humor, my whole sense of self is about like being fat. And my whole sense of humor, I don't know what I'm going to do. You guys are going to have to deal with it like for a little bit longer until I can shed it.
No, we will, but can I keep you in check?
No.
Okay, because okay, I'm okay, but no, can no, I keep no. You let me just finish. When you're coming for me, accusing me of only saying something because you're chubby.
Yes. Okay, but I
so
also
I can defend myself.
I feel like it's so important to understand how like being chubby and being fat is a state of mind. Of course, yes, it's a physical being, quite literally, its definition. But when you've spent so much of your life being overweight, it's who you are on the inside.
No,
honestly.
I do understand that.
And that's why I tend to gravitate more towards people who are fat or who have struggled with their weight, because it's just, it's a personality trait.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I don't trust people who have never struggled with their weight.
No,
like,
what do you think about?
What do you do? Like, it's just.
So you wake up in the morning, then what?
And like, so you just eat when you're hungry and you stop when you're not?
And when you're ordering from a menu, it's just like whatever you're in the mood for?
Yeah, no, I really can't relate to that no. sort of toxic mindset.
No, me neither.
So thus proving my point that weight is, it's just ironic because weight is literally a physical thing, but it's so mental. It's so emotional.
Yeah, no, that part I do understand. Like, okay. I feel like I'm in that same boat where, but I'm just saying, like, if you're going to accuse me of, like,
I'm not
fat
accusing.
Phobia.
I did I
I'm
say
gonna
that?
I'm going to come back swinging.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're definitely fat phobic, but, but not in this particular instance. So
okay.
I'll let you have this one.
Well, it's a case-by-case situation.
So wait, so back to Love is Blind. And we're going to do a full TV recap at the end with Succession, but I just want to talk about Love is Blind now because
okay,
it consumed my whole fucking weekend.
Is this going to be the TV recap of it?
Yes, this is the recap of Love is Blind.
Okay, so there'll be, it's like today's
we're
episode
splitting it.
Is a sandwich. A
the
TV
recap sandwich.
Sandwich.
And that's our title, obviously.
Okay, great.
I love when we just like check things off our list.
So someone write it down.
So in terms of the couples that we currently have, let's like go through who you think is going to make it, who you think is cute. Of course, like there's always one couple.
Shoe in.
It was, you know, who was it the first? Lauren Speed Hamilton mm-hmm. and Cameron Hamilton. It is obviously Brett and Tiffany. They're so well matched.
Obviously.
I think she thought she was going to have a really hard time because she was one of the older girls.
But being older on this show sets you up for more success. You know thyself. You're mm-hmm. not immature like Irina. You've probably seen some things to the point where whatever that person looks like you know that it's so insignificant.
And you're not immature to be like so fixated on looks.
Yeah. Thankfully, he's also extremely handsome.
And she's very pretty.
And she's very pretty. And they're very suited for one another. And emotionally, psychologically.
I know.
And also on a physical level, like, they are a match.
Yeah. And I also liked when I found out that they hadn't had sex and a lot of the other couples stayed in Mexico, I was like, oh, my God, wait, Trouble in Paradise? But she was on her period. Like,
yeah.
I like that she shared that.
Yeah.
It was
and
important
then they did
content.
Have sex.
Yeah. No. And I think they're not even a question for me.
No, they're not even a question for me. He reminds me so much of Zach. Like, when
your husband?
Yeah. Not his personality, but when he was showing her his apartment and
Jackie,
all of his
oh my God.
Knickknacks and his sneakers and how he has the paper towel holder and it's like a magnet. Like, I was literally having flashbacks to seeing Zach's apartment for the first time.
Jackie, I totally forgot how I thought the same thing, because he's obviously like a guy who likes like gadgets and gizmos aplenty. He's
yeah.
got who's its and what's its galore. He's just like a techie guy with the VR thing. And you know, his alarm clock is like definitely really weird. Like,
yeah.
That's so your husband. He like loves a gadget.
No, and like Zach, we've been watching together. He thinks Brett is sick. Like,
yeah, okay.
And when I said like, this is literally you, he's like, that is a compliment.
No, 100%. And he's like financially stable. I did think like, what I really liked about the first season of Love is Blind is they went really deep on people's financials because it's so important.
Well, just Amber and Barnett.
Yeah, but we got like actual figures. They're being a little bit more vague this time, but I think there is like a discrepancy between how Tiffany lives and how Brett lives. And I wish they would just like dive in a little deep, because she just appears like salty, like bougie Brett.
Yeah, but I feel like in terms of how much money they make, they're probably on a similar playing field. Like, it's just about a philosophy of how you spend your money.
Yeah, but it's also like she had a roommate and he didn't, you know? Like,
yeah.
So there, I feel like there actually is like an imbalance.
Okay.
Which is fine.
Like, it's never going
to
be.
I'd like to hear about it more.
Apples to apples. And he said like he'll pay 70, 60, 40.
Obsessed.
80, 20.
As
king,
he should.
King.
Next couple who.
And by the way, if they don't get married, like, I'm done with this show. Because
oh.
then I'm just watching fraudulence.
I agree. The next couple, and I know you didn't finish, but we got to the wedding of Chelsea and Kwame.
I didn't watch the last three episodes. Please spoil them. I don't care. When I realized last night that I wasn't caught up and that I had three more, like, I just wanted to cry. Like, I've been powering through, and it's so bad right now.
It's a major lull. Like, it's just so repetitive. So we got to Chelsea and Kwame's wedding. Chelsea said yes, and
okay.
now we're waiting for Kwame. They did, like, a cliffhanger. I do not think he's going to say yes, but there's one thing that's bothering me about it. Because to me, Kwame's so here, like, for the show. Like, I just get that vibe from him. He doesn't want to move. He's very settled in his life.
And also, this moving question is not supposed to be an issue on Love is Blind. Like, you go to a certain city.
Yes.
And I understand that Portland and Seattle are close each other. But there's a reason why they go to, like, a city so that this isn't an issue.
So that they avoid it.
Yeah, because it's hard to make your, like, to uproot your life.
So, the only thing that's, like, making me question Kwame, like, maybe saying yes. I don't know if you've noticed Chelsea's ring.
No.
It's huge. And all the other girls, like, have pretty much the same ring. It's, like, a very generic dating show, like, Neil Lane vibe. And I read somewhere that production, of course, pays for the rings, but the guys can choose to pay for, like, an upgrade themselves. And her ring appears to be so big, making me think, like, Kwame was, like, certain.
Well, when he proposed, he was certain. If he only became uncertain, like, you know, over the last few weeks and when he saw Micah.
Like, I guess.
It's moissanite.
Maybe it's moissanite. That's true. But it's still, like, you'd have to pay for that. Like, it just, it's interesting to me.
That is interesting.
Yeah, just a little fun fact that I.
That you observed.
I was just, like, nitpicking because at the bachelorette party, she, like, showed her ring to her friends because she was, like, wasted. And I was like, oh my God, none of the other girls' rings look like that.
Yeah, I think that they are a really good match, but I just don't know if Kwame's look like wants to be
settled
married
down.
And when they were talking about, like, having kids and how overwhelming that was, they were talking about, like, going to Cabo and laying out. I'm like, you shouldn't be worrying about that, like, right now. It looks like you're looking for an excuse,
an issue, even though, like, these are just people who are a little bit older, so you do have to actually think about that.
Yeah, but it's like, that should excite you if you are older and that's what you want. And that's why you came on this fucking show.
You know, I'm telling you, I think he came on the show, like, for fun. He gives me, like, kind of Bartice energy. Like,
I didn't watch that season.
Well, you didn't miss anything. But if we're guessing.
I would be shocked if they got married because, like, it seems like they like each other. They're having fun, but it's a little too serious to, like, actually get married between them.
I think she's obsessed with him and he, like, is so annoyed by her. That's my vibe.
Yeah. People were saying, like, I saw people's stories, like, ruining it for me, saying, like, that Kwame is, like, not that into Chelsea. I haven't gotten there yet. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like he's actually been – they've been having a good time. But I could see him getting annoyed by her. I could – I also – I do like how he stays home with the dog all day.
I know. It's, like, kind of an ideal setup.
Yeah.
Okay, next couple, let's go to Micah and Paul. I, like, cannot get a read on them. And I know Micah was, like, very close to becoming a major villain just because of, like, her friendship with Irene. And she, like, was being, like, a little bit of a bitch in the pods. But
yeah. And she like, subverted everyone. Like, her and Kwame, like, should have been together. And then her and Paul, like, just made this pact. And
yeah. And then she was, like, acting like a heartlet, like, oh, and in then Mexico.
In Mexico when she was flirting up a storm with Kwame.
They were blackout. Like,
it was wrong.
It was wrong. But she saved herself, like, her break from Irina, and then her actually, like, I think her and Paul are cute.
I think her and Paul are cute, but I can't get a read on them, and I do feel like it could be a big no.
Yeah.
And she's just going through the motions.
I also don't know if, like, people who are so different can actually be, like, a match. He's so, like, even when they were talking about his apartment, like, he's so granola. He's like, a lot of the girls I dated, like, garden and wear overalls and, like, we're granola. And she's, like, very, like, glamour. When you saw her friends, looks like girls, like, we would know, you know?
Yeah.
Just, like, very kind of different.
For sure. One, opposites attract.
Yeah.
Two, she is his mother.
Oh my God, she is his mother. I thought that was the craziest scene.
Yeah, and so maybe, like, you know, they say, like, boys, like, marry their mom. So maybe, like, subconsciously, that's what he's been looking for.
Yeah.
But I could see her saying no to him because, like, she just is not that into him.
Mm-hmm.
I could also see him saying no to her because he just doesn't seem into anything.
He's just, like, mute.
Yeah.
And monotone.
But I thought that scene with the friends was really crazy, and the friend was wrong. Yeah, the friend was being crazy.
The friend was blackout. And the friend also just, like, wanted to, like, start stuff on TV. Like, I didn't put any substance or weight into what her thoughts were at the time.
No, but it was, like, causing an issue between Micah and Paul, and I thought Micah handled it poorly. Because the friend, like, Paul didn't do anything other than just be boring
in
what he was saying. And the friend calls him out for being long-winded. Like, that's fucking rude.
She was so rude.
We just met.
She was so rude. Micah should have defended her man, and that was, like, a bad look for everyone. Except for Paul.
Yeah, but now, like, Paul's stewing somewhere. Yeah,
Paul's stewing in the corner with his beer.
I don't think they'll get married.
Me neither. I just don't see it as, like, a true, like, love match.
Yeah, I agree.
Then we have Zach.
Especially when they're both, like, you know, thinking about the person they left behind. Except then when Paul saw Amber, he had the perfect reaction, which was putting it to bed.
Yeah.
But...
No, I know. It's just, like...
What? Nothing.
Say it.
Like, I think it's easy to put that former connection to bed when, like, physically you're more attracted to the person that you chose.
Oh, yeah. Like, at that point, like, the superficial elements take over.
Yeah.
Because you're out of the pods and, like, you're out of that headspace.
Emotionally, you already chose this number one person. But if the other person then physically would be more your type, then you're in a pickle. Like, I feel like that's where Micah is with Kwame and Paul.
Yeah, but, yeah, but because they're really equally cute.
Right, but Paul doesn't feel that way. And also, it's so crazy how it's so much about type, because I would say all these people, for the most part, aren't equal levels they're of attractiveness.
Yes, with the exception, I think, of Paul, who's probably the hottest.
That's so crazy that you think that, because I don't really agree. Think that. And also, like, of the girls, I think the girls are all really attractive, but it's just about type. Like, I think Jackie is so stunning.
Me too.
But I think anyone who matched with her, like, would have been so
thrilled. She's literally, she's not well.
Okay, we'll talk about her, because I also didn't see her crumbling.
Okay, well, let's talk about her and Marshall then.
Wait. But I was just saying something about the attractiveness. The plot twist of the entire show was the reveal between Zach and Irina.
Yeah.
And not to be rude, but I really was just, like, thinking when Zach saw Irina, like, that he might not be obsessed. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it was the complete opposite.
No, like, I'm...
That he wasn't cute enough for her. And then I started looking at him different, because she was, like, saying all this mean stuff about him, that he's a cartoon. When he was in the pods, like, I thought he was totally fine.
Okay, so I would say, like, physically, just, like, physical attributes, he's definitely a good-looking guy. But it's his manner. It's his mannerisms. It's the way he talks, the way he stares. And, like, honestly, a lot of the stuff that Irina was saying, which was so rude, wasn't wrong. Like, he does have, like, serial killer vibes. And when she said cartoon, I know everyone is like, cartoon. I actually think she misspoke, because she kept repeating herself and she kept saying fictional character, being like, oh, you remind me of someone from a movie. And he is a property brother. Like, that's what she was thinking at the time. So I don't think that was her intention, but it definitely came out poorly. But yes, I know what you're saying. Like, on a physical level, like, out of the two of them, I think a lot of people would consider Zach, quote, better looking. And she was the one who had a problem with it. So we must have been really fucking weird in real life.
So it's crazy how it's just so much about taste and not even what the person looks like. And it is about mannerisms. And I'm also starting to doubt the process, because I was, like, thinking about if I were in the pods and, like, some of the things you have to talk about. And it's like, I wouldn't open up to a wall. Like,
no, yeah.
And that I can't see the person on the other side. Like, what if they're just, like, and even when in some of the conversations, like, some of the people who were talking, like, one person's opening up and the other person's, like, fidgeting with something.
Yeah.
It's like, if you were fucking fidgeting with something while I'm opening up about something, like, I wouldn't feel warmly towards you.
Like, yes, but I think also you would never open up to a wall, but I think maybe actually a lot of people would. It's, like, much less scary.
No, I know, but I feel like then you're not falling in love with the person on the other side of the wall. You're kind of just falling in love with the way that they react to what you're saying.
Yeah, that's true.
It's, you know, I feel like it's, without seeing someone's mannerisms, like, it's not just about, like, we have an emotional connection and will that take us through. Like, it's like, we liked what the other person said, but then there's a million other things that come into play, like demeanor, mannerisms, faces that you make, you know.
Body language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, wait, so let's go keep going with a couple. So now that we're on Zach and Irina, Zach and Bliss, which honestly, like, Jackie, when they were in Mexico and Jackie was like, wow, Bliss dodged a bullet, good for her. I actually don't think I've ever had less respect for anyone than Bliss. Like, not only did she take back a guy who chose someone else for her and really chose someone who was like, and she was not wrong when she said, like, I would definitely think different of you, like, you chose Irina. Like, I know Irina just like you do, and she's not, like, a great person. So she knows that about him. She was second fiddle. She took him back, went on a date with him, and she had absolutely no obligation to, like, pretend to like him, like, you know, a lot of people do. And then she accepts his proposal on the boat when they clearly have no chemistry. Oh. It was so fucking weird.
I didn't see it that way.
Oh, I did. It looked like Loserville.
Oh, I feel like, for whatever reason, like, she really likes him. And when they saw each other, like, it was a mutual attraction. And, like, I think Bliss just really wants to be, like, a wife and a mom. And Zach wants those things, too. And when two people want something so badly, like, you can make it work from there. Like,
so do you think they'll get married?
I don't know. I'm literally, like, where I am, they are one episode in the back. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Okay,
like,
so they get engaged. They meet his family. Oh, no, he doesn't, like, have family.
Yeah.
Her family, Her mom is fine, and then her dad comes with his stepmom, and he's like so against it. It's like really awkward and contentious.
Okay, I really like these parents. We need to put more respect on their names, because the idea, I just kept being like to Zach, like, if Harry came home and said I'm engaged to this girl from television after 2 weeks, like, I would call the police.
Of course. And best case scenario is you're wrong.
Yeah,
but most likely you're not.
Yeah. And so I, but also it's like you're on a TV show. You don't want to come off as like, you know, the big bad parents. So you kind of just have to like let your, but I actually really liked Micah's parents' reaction. They were like, obviously not here for this, but they're like, we know our daughter.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you
trust
your child, then just let them see this through. Because here's the thing. At worst, they're not going to get together. Like, they're going to have their heart broken.
Right, right.
At best, they're going to get married. And like, a lot of these people are older and really want to be married. And it's like, okay, it's not conventional, but
it's something. And it's okay. It's not like there have been no people who have actually been successfully married. There have actually been like 3 or 4 couples who are totally married.
Yeah.
And like really married. Amber Barnett, Lauren and Cameron. Who else?
So I guess it would just be like, I feel like I could maybe get over the process of it, you know, the experiment. It would just depend on the person that my child brought home.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also hard to, you know, judge that immediately. And then if you do judge the person based on like what they're giving you, then you're kind of like an asshole, judgmental, you
100%.
Know?
100%. And then the final couple is...
Anyways, what I'm saying is the parents are in an impossible position.
Yeah, of course, of course. But you also just like for TV, like want to just come off normal and like, yeah, this is great. And then text your kid, like, what the fuck are you doing? You know?
But then the kid goes to the camera, my parents aren't here.
By the way, what nerve. Like, Kwame's mom is not coming.
Yeah, and I understand that.
Of course. And she's also really mad because she wanted him to marry someone of similar background. And like, Chelsea's, you know, not. And that's a tough conversation to have. I'm sure she doesn't want to fucking explain why she wants her son to marry someone from the same background. Like, that's fair, honestly.
Yeah, that is fair.
And then Jackie and Marshall. So what ends up happening is that Jackie and Marshall break up. She goes on a date with Josh, actually before she breaks up with Marshall. That's what the camera showed happen. She then said she went on a date with him after.
Okay.
Sits down with Marshall, she's like, I just saw Josh. So whatever. But everyone's like quaking over. They had this kind of contentious conversation. He's been like a really nice guy the whole time. She has some sort of undiagnosed disorder. She's very, like, her mood swings are insane. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's funny, like, when she was in the pool just, like, talking about all the other couples, I was like, oh, that's funny because she went from, like, being mean to laughing. But she has something. She's unbalanced. And he's been so calm with her, and he's really been, like, a pijam. And he was just done at this point. So he was like, we're done, and he wanted the ring back. She was like, no, you gave this to me. Like, no. And everyone's like, Jackie's so evil. Give him the ring back after all you put him through. But it's like, it's literally not his ring. It's just as much hers as it is his.
Production pays for the ring.
Yeah. And she had just like one of the regular, like, and then in her statement, because a lot of people have been coming over, she's like, I know you guys like thought it was rude. I should have given it back to Netflix, not Marshall.
Right.
He was just like trying to make a point to like be dramatic, but it's literally not your ring.
Yeah.
It's neither of theirs.
I know she's like the villain because that's what I've seen, and I haven't seen her. I've seen the mood swings, but every one I kind of could understand a little bit. Like, I feel like she's struggling because she's like really happy with Marshall and she wants to get like carried away with the whole process, but she has her family mm-hmm. who are not here for her going on the show and getting married and engaged. And like, that's a real buzzkill.
Of course.
You know, when like you feel like you're doing something great that goes against like what your family wants for you, and like, it's conflicting. So I understand a little bit why she's like having these extreme moods mm-hmm. but and then, you know, she met his family and I thought they were all really sweet, and like she came out of it really quickly
even though she was like having a breakdown before.
Yeah, she was having a breakdown right
she's
before.
Just very emotional.
She is. But I also feel like, and I started feeling this way in the pods first, like Marshall's a little controlling mm-hmm. and I feel like he was one controlling when anyone else was talking to Jackie.
Yeah.
Like, that's the fucking show. Yeah. Like, that's insane. Like, you're not engaged yet. Like, that's what this is for. And like, he was upset that Josh didn't like mention his connection, but like, honestly, I'd probably move like that too.
I would be silent.
Look at what happened with all the girls. Everyone knows everyone's business mm-hmm. and like, I literally think Micah got engaged to Paul just to stick it to Chelsea.
100%.
Who? Amber.
Yeah.
So I understand all that. I thought that Marshall's reaction was like really controlling and possessive of Jackie, when it's like, she's still single.
She's in the game.
And then when he said that he looked at her like a project.
That was mean.
It was mean, but I do think it was revealing and also true, which is like, he wants to be the one to fix her and like her to blossom under mm-hmm. his tutelage. And it's just like, she's her own person. Like, you don't marry someone or like get this serious with someone who because of potential. It's like,
yeah.
Do you love her as she is with all of this or like or not? So I don't know. I feel like they're really not a good fit for each other. No. And also what she wants is like what Marshall said, like a toxic kind of love where it's like more passionate and yeah. fiery and aggressive.
Josh.
And drama in the bedroom and whatnot. And so for that reason, one, for that reason, that's probably why she's still single.
Yes.
And two, for that reason, she's not going to be able to see Marshall for the what he can bring. To right. His good traits.
Yeah, no, he's like very stable, looking to settle. Not
he's
looking,
like emo boy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she finds him to be soft.
You know, he's like a little beta.
Yeah. No, he's like, yeah, he's just like in his feelings and she's not into that look.
No, not at all.
But I would think that in the pods, you'd get a sense of that.
Yeah, no, and also you just have to be self-aware like you're on TV.
Yeah.
So the weddings are coming up. We obviously don't know anything yet, which is just beyond annoying after how many hours I've spent of this show. And that's your recap.
That's all, folks.
It's not. It's not all, folks, because we still have a whole ass show to
I
do.
I know. I can't believe we just did that at the beginning.
I honestly, really, I didn't think it was going to be so long.
We should really cut it and just put it at the end.
I really didn't think it was going to be so long. I'm sorry. I thought it was going to be like a really cute, quick moment for us.
No, no. When they take up this much of your time and your brain space yeah. and having to hear people say like that many times, I'm going to have some feelings about it. And it's really making me look at myself mm-hmm. and count how many times I say like.
By the way, it's unbearable. Same.
It's unbearable. But you also have to remember these are ordinary people.
Yeah.
And they're not media trained. Like, we're just watching people be people. And sometimes that can be really fucking boring.
Boring, but refreshing.
Yeah, unless you have a character like a Jackie or Irina. But then you're like, why, wow, you're so crazy.
No, like, we need people like that.
Making the show.
Yeah.
I can't watch Micah and Paul all day.
No. So let's dive into the stories. I do feel like it's time.
Okay, Turdy-Luya. Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And today's episode is brought to you by Honey. So it is the easiest way to save money when you're shopping on your iPhone or computer. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best ones it finds to your cart. Here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite websites. When you check out, the Honey button appears and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that website. And if they find a working coupon, you will watch the prices drop. I have saved money on so many things for myself, gifts for other people. I've saved money on clothing, obviously, which is what I spend most of my money on, but food, makeup, electronics. So many of my favorite websites work with Honey, and it's so fabulous. It's so easy. And when you use our link, it's free to download. And Honey just doesn't work on desktops anymore. They also work on iPhones. So you can activate it on your Safari on your iPhone now, and you can save money when you're shopping on the go, which is fabulous. If you don't already have Honey, you are straight up missing out. By getting it, you're doing yourself a solid, and when you use our link, you are supporting our show. Get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/toast. That's joinhoney.com/toast. Thank you, Honey, for sponsoring today's episode. Today's episode is also brought to you by a new sponsor, Primally Pure. If you want to have your healthiest year yet and become the most vibrant version of yourself, start here. Cleaning up your skincare products. Swapping for natural options is a must if you want to feel good and glow from the inside out, and Primally Pure has harnessed the power of natural ingredients in their complete line of non-toxic beauty products. So they have skin, body, baby, hair, and home products, and their cult-following favorite natural deodorant. Primally Pure products are handcrafted with real raw ingredients to optimize your results and your overall health.
I recently got a ton of stuff from Primally Pure at baby and for me too, and it's been great. I switched to a natural deodorant for now, which you know, natural deodorant gets a bad rap.
It does.
And I have tried to switch to a natural deodorant before, and I've switched back.
Yeah, right.
But I am sticking with the lavender Primally Pure deodorant. Honestly, it doesn't have that natural deodorant
smell, feel,
vibe.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so many of the other products I have, their room spray, it smells so good, and it's like non-toxic. I don't like a lot of like fragrances yeah. going around my house. I have their hand soap. Like, they have a whole line of products, and all of them are amazing depending on what you need. Like, literally everything I've used has been wonderful.
If you're on the fence about making the swap to non-toxic products, especially natural deodorant, check out their 5-star reviews at primallypure.com. Once you're convinced, use code TOAST for 15% off your Primally Pure purchase. So that's www.primallypure.com/toast and use code TOAST at checkout for 15% off your order. That's primallypure.com/toast for 15% off your order.
Thank you, Turdy Lou. Always with the great codes and links that I'll save.
That's quite literally what I do for a living.
Okay, are you ready for our first story?
Well, I wasn't ready when I first heard it, but yes, I am ready.
Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn have broken up after 6 years of dating. Entertainment Tonight exclusively learned and broke the news that Taylor and Joe broke up a few weeks ago. They also learned that the split was amicable and it was not dramatic. Entertainment Tonight told the relationship had just run its course. It's why Joe hasn't been spotted at any shows. She is currently on the Eras Tour, which heads to Tampa next week.
I mean, it's been a really long time since like a piece of pop culture news has like really shocked me. Mm-hmm. And with this, not only have they been together for so long, so you just kind of forget about people. Like, they're just settled. Yeah.
They're out to sea. Their ship is out to sea.
And we get no real updates on them because they're so private, except her songs, which are so glowingly...
Which are not even, like...
They're, like, some of the most beautiful love songs.
Yeah, it's just, like, the story is over. Yes. I've solved love.
Yes.
It's done. Case closed. I'm only going to write about the love.
Right. That's why it was so shocking.
Right.
And I will admit now I feel like I can. You know, when they first started dating, he's not my type. I don't really know him. He's not that famous. Like, I wasn't obsessed. Like, I think a lot of people are obsessed with the relationship. I'm not. I've actually never seen him in anything.
I think people are obsessed with the love for Taylor.
Yes.
With the stability for Taylor.
That I loved. And I think...
And the loyalty.
I think he was really there for her during, like, dark times. Mm-hmm. You know, Kim and Kanye, Reputation. So I do really feel like every relationship serves its purpose in one way or another in your life. And I feel like he served his purpose. And as much as, like, I'm sad that Taylor, like, has been going through a breakup and probably writing some great songs, I am not, like, not excited about, like, she's single now. And we forget because it's been so long, but she was, like, the single gal to a point where, like, it became her thing. I'm ready. Like, who does she date next? Like, I'm excited.
I don't think it's going to be like that anymore. I know. For so many reasons. I know. One, like, I think for a lot of guys, like, they don't want to be lumped in. They don't want to be a part of that group. Like, look at Jake Gyllenhaal. Like, the fans are her, you know what I mean? Like, so to even go on a date with someone and have a song written about you, it's just like, is it worth it? If you really have to think you're going to find love with this person. And I think for Taylor, like, I think she loved the privacy of the last 6 years and dating someone more low key. And I don't think she wants a relationship that everyone's talking about and everyone's talking about her man. Like, I think she'll continue to be low-key about it. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, Taylor and Tom Brady and she's on like a press tour of dating.
Well, Dumois posted, and we have to, of course, take with a grain of salt, that Taylor and Joe have been broken up for a while and she's actually seeing someone new, an older, more low-key guy.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, it does track. I don't know if it's true or not, but I believe they've been broken up for a decent amount of time. And, you know, Taylor... And she'll admit this, and I think people used to use it as like a slight against her, but she meticulously plans out everything in her life. And I think, you know, the timing, she has a weekend off. This is like the longest break in the tour. I think it's like a week and a half. So it gives everyone time to kind of like move on, forget about it. But now, of course, everyone's going back and looking at things she's been doing, changes she's been making, things she's been saying in the last couple of weeks that might have indicated that something was up.
Because she's saying The One, which is a breakup song, but every song of hers is a breakup song.
No, so not only that, it's like she replaced a core song in the set list, which was Invisible String, and everybody knows is about Joe. Green was the color of the
Aren't
shirt.
Aren't the last three albums about Joe?
Not every song. No.
London
Boy is obviously about Joe. No,
like all the Lover ones, really, that's like the Joe era.
Like, not really.
Yes, really.
Okay. But so I'm saying not every song is about, but the Invisible String one is like, in my opinion, like the greatest. Not only most obvious, but like it's like a song dedicated to Joe, and she removed it and replaced it to The One, which if you don't know, the lyric is.
And what about The One about him being
poor? She calls him poor and Invisible String.
And what about the other one where she calls
one?
Him King of My Heart?
Oh, all the boys in their fancy cars with their Range Rovers and the Jaguars never took me quite the way you do. Or maybe Paris, your roommate's cheap-ass screw-top rosé. That's how. There's so many instances where she calls him poor. Maybe he had enough.
Does she still sing King of My Heart?
I don't know if King of My Heart is not on the set list.
Huh.
King of My Heart is the best song. I just really hope that like this doesn't then...
I don't think it will.
Because, like,
I think this weekend, Tampa is going to get, like, a breakup show.
I am hoping, dreaming, dying for one of these shows. Of course, I'm hoping that it's mine, for her to sing Peace. Like, I don't know how you write Peace about someone. And maybe it wasn't enough that she could never give him Peace. Like, but...
It's not a love song, like...
So it's like an anxiety song.
Yeah, I don't think it falls into the category of things we can't sing anymore because I'm processing this breakup.
I agree. But I hope that category is not going to... be a thing.
I don't think it will be, because I think she's already processed everything. She probably, you know, when you're breaking up with someone, especially a long-term relationship, like, things deteriorate for a while before you make the choice. And, like, I think you do a lot of the grieving before. Like, I feel like by the time she even embarked on this tour, like, she's known what's up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just, it's, it was so shocking. And I really can't stress enough how I'm, like, I'm not mourning him at all. Like, I really wasn't ever, like, diehard obsessed. Mm-hmm. I, if I'm being completely honest, thought she could do better. But I was happy for her, you know, and she, they, bless you. She sees on it. It's true. She seemed really balanced and happy.
You're, like, mourning the stability.
Yeah, because I think that's, like, what she craves. Mm-hmm. Because so much about her life is, like, so crazy. So for that, I'm sad. But I do feel like I'm ready for her to move on.
Yeah, but I also feel like when they started dating, where she was versus where she is now, it's like she's almost a different person, and like, beyond, in her growth, in her career, in her success, like, she's never been this popular.
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah.
And I don't, but I think she's also the type to be like, well, he was with me when I was down, like, I'll always,
you know, I don't, I honestly
stand by him.
I have to imagine that, like, when your life and your career is, like, predicated on so many ups and downs, like, you don't make decisions in haste, like, when you're going through a bad time. And when you're at the top, oh, I'm at the top of my game, I don't need him now. Like, I don't think.
And I also feel like, because I've just been watching a lot of, I've just watched George and Tammy, mm-hmm, and a lot of movies about famous people, biopics, Johnny Cash, Walk, mm-hmm, the Line. I feel like when you're at the top, that's when it's the loneliest.
Yes.
And when you're climbing out of something, you have a purpose and a guiding light, and, like, you are driven.
Yeah.
But then you reach the top, and it only just, like, it echoes. The loneliness just echoes. So I actually feel like, even though it might seem like, oh, she's on top, she just wants, mm-hmm, to, like, do her thing and party and have fun. It's, yeah, like, I think that's when you want, like, someone in your bed to come home to and to actually, like, enjoy everything that you've built.
Yes. Having said that, I do also really feel like when we watch those biopics, it's always, yeah, you're at the top, but there's no one there with you.
Yeah.
I feel like Taylor's whole life has been preparing her for that. Like, I feel like she's always around her family. She's always around, like, her home friends. Like, she went through that era where she only had famous friends, and now she has, like, two or three famous friends, but they're, like, actual friends. I feel like she set herself up to, you know, whenever she reaches a peak, and maybe she's in it now, maybe she's still on her way up, that she's not alone.
Yeah.
And that she is, like, fulfilled.
But I could also see how, like, she's constantly surrounded by people. She has her friend, like, you know, her artist friends, these people. And there's always a lot of noise. And if she ever is truly by herself, it must be very quiet.
I just feel like you're just, like, going tit for tat with me. Like, I feel like I feel like she's happy.
I'm not going tit for tat. I feel like she's happy. I'm not going tit for tat with you. I'm going tit for tat with the concept of, like, stardom and loneliness.
No, and by the way,
do you know what I mean?
100%. And I think a lot of those are 100% true all of the time. But I just feel like Taylor is different. I do. I really do. Like, Taylor's not a party girl. She doesn't, like, do drugs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
she's always with her family. Like, her family is and I think for a lot of stars, when they become, like, untethered from their families, or their family betrays them, or it's something about money, like, that's when they really, like, lose grip of reality. And that's when they become so untethered, and they just, like, you know, hang with people who give them drugs and bad influences. Yeah. And the fact that Taylor has remained so close to her family is, like, very grounding for somebody in her situation. So I'm choosing to believe that that's what's happening.
Yeah. No, I understand. It's just crazy. Like, we literally watched so many movies
over the
recently.
Weekend,
we watched
Patsy Cline's biopic. We watched Loretta Lynn. Old school country. Loretta Lynn,
Walk
Johnny Cash.
Line, and then I watched George and Tammy. And it's crazy how it's just, like, everyone who's at the top is just so unhappy.
Yeah.
And they turn to all of this different substances. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, such a, like, it's crazy how really so few people escape that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like.
But maybe it's also about being an artist. Like, you can't really be, like, a creative person without being a little tortured.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, searching for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some people just become an accountant. And, like,
right.
It's very cut and dry.
And they're fine.
And they're fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to, like, dig deep into the soul, like, into your soul, like, it's just, it's a different beast.
Yeah. I just do think a lot of those, like, cliches don't apply here, honestly.
I agree. I do agree. Are you ready for our next story?
Yes, ma'am.
Some happy relationship news. When mm-hmm. one ship sinks, it can be repurposed, uh-huh. built back together, and set
reclaimed
afloat.
Reclaimed
very
wood.
Very
Joanna Gaines.
Set afloat with Olivia Culpo and Christian McCaffrey, who are engaged. She posted the announcement on Instagram Friday in a picture, a carousel of him proposing to her. I think they were at Aman Giri in Utah. They had taken a road trip.
An RV.
She was, like, so excited. I obviously follow her, so I was just watching the road trip.
Me
and
too.
I was shocked at how she was saying this is like her dream vacation is to go
It was not even like a big RV. Like, it wasn't like a coach bus. It was like an RV with like one room and a couch. And I was like, damn.
And it was just her and Christian. Mm-hmm. Christian was driving and Oliver Sprinkles, their dog, was there, which does make everything more fun.
100%.
And I guess they drove from LA to Utah and they stayed at Amangiri and they got engaged. And it's so fucking beautiful.
I think a lot of people like what were watching the trip on her Instagram stories being like, they're going to get engaged. But people think that about everyone who goes on a trip who has a boyfriend. Like,
people do think that about everything, but I just want to say I'm not one of those people.
And you did say
I did say, like, I feel like this would, because it's the off season. Mm-hmm. It's just the two of them. If you can live on an RV with someone for a number of days,
you're made for life,
and they're driving the bus and like their driving skills, like, and the, you know, shower situation, and the cooking and the makeup, like, you can marry them, I believe.
100%.
So I think the RV was a test. They arrived
at one of the most beautiful resorts in the country,
right? And he said, that's my wife. And then he had no doubts.
Yeah, and she looked so happy. She looked so beautiful. There were, like, a lot of because she got back from the trip. She got engaged, and then, like, there was, like, 2 or 3 days where she didn't say anything.
Yeah, she got engaged on the 2nd, and the news came out on the 5th. So between the 2nd and the 5th, some of her friends spoiled it.
Yeah, like, I think her sister posted a story where there was, like, big balloons in the background with, like, one of those engagement ring balloons.
Yeah.
Whatever, like, it's all good.
No, it's all good, and it's all, like, good news.
Right. Spoiling good news is not spoiling.
Yeah, and it was fun for the fans.
Yeah, I'm happy for her. Like, I think he's so cute, and I just love that. I love this for her, especially as, like, a Niners girl myself.
Yeah.
As, like, a big Bay Area queen, I'm thrilled.
It also, it hits harder, like, having just watched the Colpo show and, like, just knowing what she's about and what she wants out of life, and it's, like, this is what she wants. Like, she wants to be married and settle down and have kids, and that she's on the path to all of that. I'm so happy for her.
It also hits harder just, like, knowing that she's now joining, like, an elite WAGS crew, mm-hmm, over in San Francisco. We know we have Kyle Juszczyk and his wife, you know, iconic toasters. By the way, I was just saying this to Ben, because when we went to San Francisco with Kyle and Kristen for the 49ers game, I met Claire Kittle, who is George Kittle's wife, and she's so cute and so nice. And I'm not, like, a big footballer. I hadn't heard of George Kittle before that game. When I tell you not a day goes by that I don't see George Kittle now, it's like, you know when you don't know someone or something, and then it's everywhere you go, George Kittle. And I said, I'm like, Ben, George Kittle's everywhere. And Ben's like, yeah, he's also, like, having a moment. He's, like, coming up right now. Like, he's on all these podcasts, and he has, like, a bunch of friends who have, like, big shows, YouTube shows. So he's popping up everywhere. But, like, I swear to God, I had never heard this man's name in my life. And now not a day goes by that I'm not thinking about George Kittle.
Yeah.
It's just how life works, you know?
It is. And I do agree with you, though.
Right? You see him everywhere.
Yeah, he's everywhere. But I also now follow Claire, so I see him everywhere. I see him every day on my Instagram.
By the way, I follow her, too. That's also it. But also, Ben said he's, like, having a moment. Because, like, he was, like, had a really good season. And, like, you know, there's, like, a lot of, you know, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
As Liz Lemon once said.
Yeah. So this is great for the Niners gang.
I know. So that was just, like, another elite marriage. Oh, and think about the wedding. Like, all the wags looks are going to be there. I mean, she's so, I don't know who wouldn't want to dress her. Like, she's so stunning. She's got, like, a custom Versace dress or something.
But I think she's also, like, quite traditional, and so,
yeah, by the way, she is, like, I think her family is, like, kind of religious, like, they're gonna be,
and her and Christian are religious. She said on the show that, like, when they get into fights and, like, they're can't see their way out of stuff, like, they pray together.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
So cute.
Speaking of prayer, total tangent, but I did want to talk about this because I saw an interview this morning, and I've been seeing a few that Blac Chyna has been on this kind of, like, press journey, and actually she's going by Angela White now. I don't know if you know that. She is having like a come to Jesus moment. She got all of her filler dissolved. She quit OnlyFans. She is she was baptized. She's having her, she said this, quote, demonic tattoos removed. She's like a woman of Christ now. She looks so beautiful. I saw this interview she did, and honestly, like, the interviewer was, like, gushing over her, and he was just like, how did you come to this place? She's like, you don't see it when you're in it. I was, like, happy doing all the things that I was doing, and then one day I, like, found Christ, and I was like, I can't believe I'm living my life this way, and I'm putting all these toxic things in my body, and this is how I'm making a living. And honestly, she sounded so lucid, and I've never ever in my life been a fan of Blac Chyna. Like, clearly I'm a Kardashian stan.
We literally have the word China,
right? We literally invented a word after her. I was so happy for her. She looks so healthy and happy, and, you know, salvation is real.
Well, I was just watching George and Tammy, and eventually, I don't want to spoil it, but by the end of the show, George finds Christ. And it's just,
It can be really good for people.
It's amazing. It's for people who are struggling with a myriad of things. Like, first his friend, who was, like, really an enabler the whole show. Then one day, just, like, him and his wife found Jesus, and, like, they weren't about that life anymore. And he kept trying to get George to see the light. And finally George does, and it just changes everything for him.
Yeah, and I'm not obviously not a Jesus girly. And I'm not speaking, like, Jesus...
No, but belief in a higher power.
Right, like a spirituality, whatever religion it is. It can be so grounding, I think, especially when you run in, like, you know, Hollywood, which can be, like, you know, when hedonistic.
When people treat you like a god.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's hard to have perspective.
Yeah. I just thought it was a really powerful interview. If you can catch, she's been doing a bunch. Like, it was really interesting. She went on podcasts. It was good stuff. I'm really happy for her.
Yeah. We said Christ.
And the Kardashians are, like, weirdly...
Religious.
So maybe this could be like... Underratedly.
Surprisingly.
Underratedly, yeah. Maybe this could be common ground for them. They can, you know, take the kids to church.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I think it's good.
I think it's all good. I'm happy for Olivia and Christian.
Me too.
Obsessed beyond. Yeah. Okay, are you ready for our next story?
Yes.
An update in the in-law saga.
I know,
that's
I saw.
Taken over.
I'm obsessed.
The Beckhams are celebrating Brooklyn and Nicola's first wedding anniversary together. So... Brooklyn and Nicola, happy anniversary. They are together with Victoria and David, took a photo, posted it.
With a cake
that had, like, photos on it. I bet Brooklyn cooked it himself. And, you know, they're putting up a united front. Victoria posted the photo. Nicola posted the photo, like, happy to be celebrating their anniversary.
Yeah, and I'm just at a place now where nothing they do or say or post will convince me otherwise. Like, this...
Even Victoria, though?
Yeah. This is giving... And I'm just so convinced in my head, and I don't have any proof, but I think they're so motivated to prove people wrong, even though I think people are right, that they're just, like, posting. Like, I really, I'm not buying it. But maybe it's just because I don't want to buy it.
But it's also, like, you could celebrate, you could be with your in-laws and have a bad relationship and take a picture and post it. And, like, yeah, we're celebrating the anniversary shirt. It doesn't mean these people like each other.
Yeah.
No. I also felt like her outfit was just, like, not what you wear to hang with your in-laws.
Yeah, she was, like, definitely, like, downplaying the whole anniversary because she hates the marriage.
No, not Victoria.
Oh.
Nicola's outfit.
What was she wearing?
She's wearing, like, a crop top and short. Like, that's just not...
That's not appropriate.
That's not what you wear with your in-laws.
And especially everyone else is wearing, like, pants. It's clearly, like, the air conditioning's on in the home.
It's just, like... It's just not, like, in-law outfit. There are outfits for certain things. Just like when Selena was going to dinner with Drew Taggart, that wasn't a date outfit.
Right.
No, this is not an outfit that you wear with your in-laws.
Yeah, I'm just at a place in my life where I don't know what it would take for me to someone to convince me that these four get along. I just know there's problems, and no photo is going to convince me otherwise. I'll have to see it in person.
No, but I think that there can be problems and there can be a photo.
Yeah, of course. But I think this photo was posted to placate us and try and convince us that there's nothing going on when I know that there is.
Yeah.
And I will not be fooled, Jackie.
No, I don't think that you would be.
I will not be.
But happy anniversary. A year.
Be that I will not.
The first year of marriage, they say, is the hardest. Have you experienced that?
No. The fact that this was a year ago, we've been talking about them for a year, is so crazy. Like, not to make everything about me, but what a year. Like, so time flies.
I know, but it does feel like a year ago when they came on our radar, because we never talked about them before their wedding.
It does feel just really quick.
Yeah. I remember when we talked about their wedding.
Yeah.
And we were just like...
Did you still live in New York?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A year ago, April.
Yeah.
We were just like, what do these two have to worry about? There's all the money in the world to pay for the wedding.
More money, more problems.
And it was, then it started to all unravel.
It did, very quickly. It was actually very fast. Do I think the first year of marriage is the hardest? I don't remember it being hard, honestly.
Yeah.
So no.
That would be a no. Great.
That's just my opinion. It's not.
Also, I do think COVID throws things. My first year of marriage was, like, the year before COVID. So then, like, I would say, like, the next COVID year was harder than the first year.
Yeah.
You know, like, being up each other's asses, working from home.
Yeah, for me, and maybe that's why I don't feel like the first year of marriage is the hardest rule applies to me, is because I think a lot of people struggle with having someone up your ass. But, like, I crave to be up someone's ass, and I crave someone up my ass. Like, I hate being alone. I'd love
that's
to be.
That's so not true.
No, I know.
You hate when people are up your ass. You're literally the first one to just dip out of a gathering.
That's different.
Even if it's four people, gathering of four.
That's different.
You're never, like, the one who's, like, you're always just, all of a sudden, we're laughing.
When it comes to my family, like, I like to be.
No, when it comes to your family, you do it to us.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. We're, one minute, we're laughing. Next, I'm going.
Really?
Yeah. There's no wind down. There's no nothing.
Maybe I'm, like, trying to leave to go back to Ben. Maybe I'm just obsessed with Ben.
with Ben.
Yeah, because I just said, like, I like when Ben's up
but
my
I
ass.
Feel like sometimes when you're dipping out, like, he's golfing.
Maybe it's Theo.
Usually Theo's with you.
I don't know. Maybe I just hate you.
Maybe. Maybe it's me.
Yeah, it's me. Hi. I'm the ram. I don't know what it is. But no, I didn't find the first year of marriage the hardest.
When you were 13, you didn't find that. No, that was a hard year.
As a child bride, I found it to be quite relaxing. And I also didn't find COVID to be that taxing. But that's because we spent so much time at home. Like, it wasn't that different than regular life.
No, it was different.
It was. But I don't remember. Or also, maybe I experienced trauma and I forgot about it. That's so possible,
that's
too.
That's so turdy.
That's so turdy for me to, like, go through something, like, unenjoyable and then not remember it.
But I actually remember, like, when we were going through COVID, like, we would remark on who's handling it the best. Mm-hmm. Like, we would mark amongst ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we would say, like, you are doing fine. You, Claudia, like, your mental health was fine.
Yeah.
And you and Ben were fine.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So maybe I'm not misremembering is what
no,
you're saying.
No. Okay. No. We definitely did a ranking of, like, who was having the hardest time.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, a fun thing to do.
No, it is. And also, what else were we going to talk about?
And now, I don't remember the rest of the ranking. Like, I just remember everyone agreeing that, like, you were fine.
Oh, my
not
God.
Not someone we needed to worry about.
It's so sad that I have this amazing life and, like, this amazing family. And I'm constantly experiencing things and memories with people that I just will never remember. It's actually quite terrible.
Yeah.
Because you know what I was thinking? Mm-hmm. You're going to kill me.
Oh, God.
Remember, like, a couple years ago on The Toast, you were quoting back something I had allegedly said about getting on a plane and stepping into a new land.
Yeah.
So for those who haven't been
oh
here
my God,
that
I forgot
long,
about this fight.
So I can you retell?
I've laid down my arms. I literally forgot about
it. Can you retell?
Okay, so I think it was my belief that one time Claudia and I were just, like, talking about nonsense as we do, and she said something about the, like, magic of planes and how you literally can step onto a plane and, like, you get off into a new land.
And then on The Toast, like, maybe weeks later, Jackie then regurgitated what I had said. And let me tell you, I did not say that. Like, I'm like, that's just not something I said. And then actually, I was thinking about this maybe, like, a week ago. It actually does sound like something I would say.
And do you actually look within? Do you feel that way? Like, that's cool to get on a plane because you step off in a new land?
Okay, so maybe, like, the way you told it back wasn't accurate, because what I was saying was more like, I don't want to get into it, but, like, I think I said it. Let's just leave it at that.
How come no one ever surfaced it? Like, if you did say it, couldn't someone just find it?
It was a personal conversation. Oh. I think when we were on a plane.
That's a weird thing to say personally. Like, not on a show when we're just trying to speak.
Like, be dumb.
We're
funny.
Just trying to think of things to say.
Yeah, I don't know why I said it. Like, maybe it was a long day.
It's funny. You're now, like, taking my position, but I'm now taking yours. Like, I don't think you would say that.
Oh,
well. Offline.
Okay.
It's something you would say on the air.
Maybe. And if it was a thought I had, like, I definitely probably wouldn't have said it to you, because, like, I knew you would have made fun of me.
No, never.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if anyone can go find that clip of us, like, of me telling the story.
Yeah, it's, like, old studio.
Yeah. That's an old one.
Yeah.
I forgot. I let it go. Some things I can't let go.
Because she's moving on, letting go, holding on to tomorrow. I've always got the memories.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Bravo plans to revive Roni Legacy as a girls' trip style show with Ramona and Luann. So Bravo's trying to revive the Real Housewives of New York City Legacy project as a short Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip style show. And the network is hoping that Ramona will be back. As Page Six first reported, Bravo attempted to create a show with the Legacy cast as a spinoff show that would be for a full season, but that idea fell apart during contract negotiations. Now they're told that executives have retooled it as a special style show documenting a short span of time in the same way that Ultimate Girls Trip covers a vacation that takes place over just a few days. Sources say it will be an Ultimate Girls Trip with the Roni Legacy cast, and then I also saw some rumors that it was going to be a trip to Scary Island and bringing the band back together.
I saw that too. I'm definitely getting fatigued with this back and forth Roni Legacy. Like, I don't really care anymore. Although I do think conceptually this is probably a better idea than, like, a whole different, like, new spinoff show.
Yeah.
Because the Ultimate Girls Trips for, like, diehard Housewives fans are popular. So it's good.
I'm too far removed to be a fan of this idea or any idea at this point. Like, one, I don't watch the UGTs in general.
Me neither.
The idea of these women, like, going for one last hurrah on a trip, like, it's not even like they're in New York and they're doing their lives and they have to, like, you know, vacation mode is different than real life mode. So yeah. It will just be absolute bananas.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested in bananas.
No, but what I do like about this article is that some respect is being put on Ramona's name. Because you know what? Say whatever the fuck you want about Ramona Singer. Like, you cannot deny her entertainment value, especially with these women. She is that bitch. And I think it pains a lot of people to say that, but like, she is. So you know what? I hope she's on it, honestly.
Did you recap Vanderpump Rules on...
No.
No. I don't even remember what happened, but I was just thinking about Watch What Happens Live with Tom Schwartz.
Yes.
Did you watch that?
I did.
It was something to see.
It was definitely a lot. A lot was happening.
I'm so over him.
I've been over him for so long.
But I'm also over him from the show, like his behavior on the show.
Yeah.
And not even because of Tom Sandoval. Like, it honestly has nothing to do with Tom Sandoval.
No, it has a little bit to do with Tom Sandoval because, honestly, the way he, like, alienates so many people, like, including Katie right now, mm-hmm. But refuses to alienate Tom Sandoval. When, like, Tom right. Sandoval right now is making Tom Schwartz, like, Tom Schwartz has so much to answer for. So many people are mad at Tom Schwartz. Like, there's so much happening to Tom Schwartz as a result of Sandoval's actions. And, like, he still... is not even remotely mad. He was telling everyone, give Sandoval a hug if you see him. He's feeling down. Like, but he's so quick to throw, like, Katie under the bus.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Yeah. No, but I feel good about the fact that I've been done with him since before Scandal. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Whatever.
And the only thing that happened on Vanderpump Rules was Raquel and Tom made out.
Right.
Like, who cares? It's just, at this point, it's so irrelevant.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it later. This week, when it comes on, I can't go a circle the drain anymore. And now it's like we're in a lull until those final episodes air and the reunion airs. Like,
yep.
We have some time off.
Yeah, especially if we're going to keep going on about Tom and Raquel Schwartz because it's irrelevant.
Yeah. Like, I'm taking the time off.
Dumbass.
To watch some other shows.
I'm like, taking the time off.
Like George and Tammy.
Right.
And Love is Blind. Our fifth and final story, which Claudia requested.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Claudia's request. I'm going to read it, even though I don't understand the headline or anything about it.
Well, let me just tell you a little preface. Last night, me and Ben went to the movies. So underrated. Can't recommend going to the movies enough, even though the popcorn was, like, kind of gross. We saw Air, which is the story of Michael Jordan making a deal with Nike to do Air Jordan. He had just, I think, he was a freshman in college. He was signed to the NBA. There was a lot of hype around other players. He was the third draft pick, but he wasn't, like, you know, the biggest.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, but, like, with the three major companies at the time, which was Converse, Adidas was in first place, Converse, and then Nike was, like, kind of losery. They had, like, a very small share of the basketball market. They were never going to get a top three player, like, ever.
But you said he was number three.
Yeah, they were never going to get
oh.
a top three player. And so how they got the deal structured, yada, yada. So Viola Davis plays his mother. She was amazing. Ben Affleck plays Phil Knight, the founder of Nike. And there is no Michael Jordan
character.
He exists. You see the back of his head. His mother really speaks for him, which I do think is how it was when he was younger. His mom ran the ship. But he doesn't say one word.
Hmm.
It was so... bizarre. And so now the reason I say the story is Ben Affleck is explaining that artistic choice.
Okay. So Ben Affleck explains why Michael Jordan isn't shown in Air. By the way, that movie sounds really good. And why haven't I heard one thing about it?
I know. Ben had told me about it, which is crazy because Ben knows nothing. You guys should totally see it. It was excellent.
Yeah. Zach was saying that. Oh my God, they saw Air?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, they saw Air.
It was really good.
It's also a weird name for a movie. I can't explain.
I didn't like the name.
Even though it's like a word and it's...
Yeah.
What the shoe was called.
Yeah.
It's not a title for a
Air
movie.
Air Jordan would have been a better
name. It's not a title of a movie.
I agree. Air.
Air.
It was weird.
Michael Jordan plays a pivotal role in the movie Air and is even present in a few climactic boardroom pitch scenes, yet his face is not shown in the film aside from shots of magazine covers and snippets of archival footage of the real-life player.
Right. We get the real Michael Jordan in, like, old-school
videos.
That's cool. Yeah.
I like when they do that. It's a bold choice for the Amazon Studios film because it's all about the Nike executives wooing Claudia yeah. explain this. This is what Ben Affleck said, quote, this is what someone asked him. How do you tell a story about Michael Jordan and never see him? When you are that person, when you become so much more than a hero or an athlete or even an icon, you start to become an idea to people. You touch them and just start to represent hope and excellence and greatness. You are one of a kind. There is no way I was ever going to ask an audience to believe that anybody other than Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan, which was also out of my own naked self-interest, frankly, because I knew it would destroy the movie. You will see him in archival clips in the movie, but you will see Michael Jordan as he truly is, in his authentic, masterful genius, which exists for all of us to see. It was a deliberate choice. I thought he was too majestic to have anyone impersonate him. And as I told him, you're too old to play the part.
It was a terrible choice.
Disagree.
You disagree with what I'm saying?
With Ben Affleck.
Yeah, it was such a bad choice.
Confusing.
Misleading. And I really, I don't feel like it was deliberate. I feel like maybe, I don't know. It was such a bad, it was my only real problem with the movie. Especially because I understand what he's saying. Like now Michael Jordan is this larger than life, real legend. But at the time he was like just a kid and he was like doing what his mom said. Like, I really feel like it wouldn't have made, and didn't have to make him a huge part of it, because at the end of the day, it was all his mother. She made the deal, and it was her idea that, okay, you're going to pay Michael this big amount, but, like, you're selling shoes with his name on it. We get a percentage of every sale. And that had never happened before.
A royalty deal.
It had never happened. And it changed. Now, moving after that, every player who has a line gets a percentage. And it's like, yeah, this money is being made off the likeness of a player, and the player and their family should get that money in addition to Nike.
Yeah.
So it revolutionized, like, and it was all her. So I get maybe him not being the biggest character, but like, okay. Like,
yeah.
And they talked about him so much. And then finally, when they got a meeting, I'm like, all right, well, we haven't seen him up until this point, but we got a meeting. Literally, like, his parents get out of the limo, and oh my God, the actor who played his dad, I thought was Michael Jordan. Like, it was a perfect casting. They could have found someone. Like,
no, they could have. And it's crazy that we're having this conversation after watching all these biopics. It's like,
right.
You can get Elvis, mm-hmm. You could do Johnny Cash, mm-hmm. Like, all these people are really larger than life and in the stratosphere, and we play them all the time.
Yep.
And sometimes it's not, obviously, like, you know, Joaquin Phoenix is no Johnny Cash.
Of course, but he did his best.
But we get to see the story of Johnny Cash, sure.
Yeah, it was so...
And they could have had Michael's son play him.
It was so dumb, Jackie.
And Larsa could have been there.
Literally. It was so dumb.
That's dumb.
Yeah, I really liked the movie. I didn't know much going into it, so I was surprised that, like, the whole movie from start to finish is the making of the deal. We never get to see, like, the deal come to life and then what happens after.
No, they torture us.
I know, and I was just... And they gave statistics at the end, which are so unbelievable. You know, to this day, Michael Jordan makes passive income every year. And they didn't tell you what percentage. He has a small percentage of Air Jordan. He doesn't leave his house. He makes $400 million a year. It is the craziest thing. And so I just wanted to see a little bit more. Like, literally, they sign the deal and the movie ends. I'm like, come on.
That's torture. They always do that. They only focus on, like, the tumultuous times. And
yeah.
When those are, like, a small fraction of all the good times. Even when I was watching George and Tammy, like, all the years, the albums that they did, the success they have, was literally, they showed
a montage.
A montage of a bunch of albums, like, being dropped down.
Give us the good, like, give us the joy.
No, only the heartache and the torture.
Oh my God, it was, like, so painful. But it was excellent. And the Jason Bateman played, like, a pivotal guy at Nike. Matt Damon played the guy at Nike. And Ben Affleck played Shoe Dog, Phil Knight. And if I was Phil Knight, like, I would have a problem with the movie, because, yeah, Phil Knight is, like, known. He was, like, he traveled to Asia and, like, found all these, like, Buddhist principles and brought back and started Nike. And, like, he's definitely, like, a little, you know,
out there.
Woo. But they made him out to be, like,
a freak,
a moron. And it's like, you don't build Nike by being a moron. Like, yeah. Come on. Like, yeah, he's weird and he does wear shoes around the office, but he is a smart guy.
Apparently his book is good, Shoe Dog.
Yes, it's apparently, like, the go-to business book. Mm. It's, like, the best one. Ben started it and never finished.
That's so Ben.
It's so Ben. I keep saying finish it. I'm like, maybe the movie will encourage you to...
Oh, we don't have another story because that was five, but we did have our sixth man story of the day, which was about Ben's shoe on Friday's episode.
Ben's shoe. I didn't know what you were talking about for a second. Ben's shoe was on Friday's episode. So I do want to kind of address the elephant in the room, which was on Friday. I told you guys how excited I was about trying something new with our cameras. I bought a second camera for our studio. I tried something. It definitely needs work. You know, the angles aren't right.
I'm actually tinkering.
I'm going to head to the studio soon and work on it. But I got dragged. I got dragged to field with people being like, this sucks. And my fucking husband's shoe was in the frame the whole time. I'm sorry for what happened on Friday on YouTube. I am, even though I still think it looked really good. Like, you could still see both of our faces so clear and up close. Like, isn't that what we want to see, facial reactions?
Yeah, no, you were focused on the face, which I do think is the primary.
Yep.
But you weren't focused on the wallpaper, the spritz.
And the shoe.
And the table. And then the
shoe. It was day one, and it was a Friday.
Like,
my God.
The floating shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you did also ask people, what do you think of our new setup? So then you got 100,000 comments saying Ben's shoe.
Okay, here. Okay, so I'm going to work.
Ben Shoe Dog.
So tomorrow, like, we'll be in studio with two cameras. And let me just say, I don't want to know what you think.
Okay, great, great.
But I don't want feedback.
But I watched the episode and I saw the comments and I was like, I wonder if she asked people for their feedback.
I did.
Because everyone's
twice.
Giving feedback.
I did twice, actually.
Right. And it was fun. Like, at least we'll always have Ben Shoe
yeah.
to unite us.
He's a shoe dog.
He is the shoe dog.
So I actually really recommend.
I think it was a Nike shoe.
I really recommend the movie, by the way.
No. I'm not going to watch it.
No, it was really good.
But you just made it sound really bad.
And if you, I don't know a lot about Michael Jordan. Like, I know he's the GOAT. And I know he, like, weirdly also played in the MLB for a while because he's just, like, such a great athlete. He could do anything. It was really impressive. And it made me, like, I had a thirst for more knowledge about Michael Jordan. And it was very good. It was very good.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. And it was also just very strangely... a guy who had a very small role played by Marlon Wayans, who was friends with Matt Damon, who was trying to get this deal done. And he was like getting advice because he used to coach Michael Jordan back in college, who was telling the story about something that happened to him when he went to like a civil rights march like years ago, how some guy handed him a piece of paper. It ended up in his pocket. It was the half of this guy's speech. And he looked at it after and it was the I Have a Dream speech. It was like the Martin Luther King accidentally like put it in his pocket. And I'm like, that is definitely not real. And then at the end, when they have pictures of everyone side by side with the actor and then the real person, it is a true story. And that guy was offered $3 million for it. And he said no.
Wow.
It was just like, it was also just like a very crazy random anecdote, which really didn't have anything to do with the story, but I'm like, there's literally no way, but it was real.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. So very good. That's a good thing to do to go see if you like date night, I recommend.
And, or you could watch George and Tammy, which is on Showtime. It's about George Jones and Tammy Wynette, you know, the king and queen of country music. It's crazy how I really didn't know who they were at all.
Yeah.
Jessica Chastain plays Tammy Wynette. And Michael Shannon, who you would know his face, plays George Jones. And he, to me, is the star of the show. Like, he really did amazing. And I don't like how they were singing. Like, it was the actor. Like, I want to hear Tammy Wynette sing.
Also, if you're looking for something to watch, you could watch Succession.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into the recap, but I want to recap George and Tammy.
Oh, okay.
Like, I just wanted
to... So is this the TV recap?
Yeah.
Okay.
It could be the TV recap.
So is it the TV recap that's brought to you by Manscaped?
Yeah.
Ladies.
If you want to look like George Jones, you're going to want Manscaped.
Our friends at Manscaped are here with a deal you can't pass over this Easter season. They've got the tools to give the man in your life the beautifully decorated eggs of his dreams. Just because it's Easter doesn't mean it's okay for him to hide his manhood behind all that grass. Make sure his downstairs lawn is mowed and get him feeling sweet as candy by going to manscaped.com, and you can get 20% off plus free shipping with code TOAST. It's time to put all your eggs in the perfect basket with the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped. Inside, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker 2.0 ear and nose hair trimmer, the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver toner, the Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold all of his goodies. So the Lawnmower 4.0 is an elite electric trimmer. It has a proprietary advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is also waterproofed and equipped with an LED light so you can keep eyes on those eggs even in the dark. The package also comes with their Crop Preserver ball deodorant and Crop Reviver ball toner. So it's a ball deodorant that will change his life and yours. April is Easter, but it's also Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. And Manscaped has partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness to testicular cancer, men's health, and early cancer detection. They are committed at Manscaped to raising awareness for the most common form of cancer in men aged 15 to 35. And they're giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer as a part of their We Save Balls initiative. Save 20% off and free shipping with the code TOAST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code TOAST at manscaped.com. Hop into the best deal of the year with Manscaped. Today's episode is also brought to you by Squarespace. We are so excited to be working with Squarespace. From websites and online stores to marketing tools and analytics, Squarespace is the all-in-one platform to build a beautiful online presence and run your business. So whatever you're wanting to create a website for, whether you have a blog or you work in e-commerce, you want to start like an e-commerce side hustle, check out squarespace.com/toast for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code TOAST and you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. So again, that's squarespace.com/toast. Squarespace is the place to sell anything. They have the tools that you need to get your business off the ground, including e-commerce templates, inventory management, a simple checkout process, and secure payments. Whatever you sell, Squarespace has merchandising features to make your products look their best online. They also have video blocks. You can connect your social media accounts. You get traffic overviews so you can see how your visits, unique visitors, page views are trending over time. You can gain insight into the top traffic sources, products, device types, browsers, and operating systems. And the best part part is the content ownership. So you own all of the content you put on the Squarespace platform. They offer a one-click data portability. So check out Squarespace at squarespace.com/toast for that free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code toast to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Again, that's Squarespace, Squarespace.com/toast for that free trial and offer code toast to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome, Jackie.
You support small business owners.
Big time.
In a big way.
Yeah.
Okay, George and Tammy, before we get into Succession, I'll be brief about it because it was really good. I feel like it's a show that, you know, no one's really talking about. It didn't get that much buzz or critical acclaim, but it was totally up there and high value. Great people story. Again, weird that I didn't really, like, I don't know George Jones. You know some of the songs and Tammy Wynette, and so it was cool to, like, see them in action. Jessica Chastain is a fabulous perfection queen, but, like, she's Jessica Chastain. It's so hard to think of her as someone else.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I didn't get to, I don't understand Tammy Wynette as a person at all. I mean, who's to know people, but I just felt like the character was almost inconsistent a little bit. But it was really enjoyable. I think it's 6 episodes, premium quality, premium content, country music, lots of other country folk. You should watch it, Dirty Lou.
Yeah.
And then you'll want to recap it.
Yeah, no, you're not, like, selling it.
No, it was good. It's a crazy story. Like, I didn't even know that they were, you know, king and that they were, like, in love and recording music together. And it was just, like, really cute. They would literally, like, get together and write a song about getting together. They got married. They wrote a song about that. They get into a fight. They, like, the whole world was a part of their relationship via their songs. I didn't know that they were, like, such a, I guess, like, Garth and Trisha.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't even know about Garth and Trisha. Like, we don't know anything about them. Do they even live together? Like,
no, like, Garth and Trisha are, like, first lady and president of country music, but, like, not really.
Yeah, like, her tour bus literally said first lady because she was the first lady of country music.
Oh, whose?
Tammy Wynette.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Trisha Yearwood.
No.
No, like, Trisha Yearwood doesn't really even, like, perform or write new music that much anymore. She has, like, a cooking show. She's very much, like, she's, like, a celebrity.
Yeah. So it was interesting to, like, they had this huge larger-than-life. It's, like, I can't imagine living through, like, being a fan of theirs. There was so much content they were giving.
I also feel like Faith Hill and Tim McGraw are probably more, like, of a comparison, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Garth is just so big. But that's what the
thing. George Jones, like, he was the king of country music.
He was bigger than her?
Bigger than Tammy.
Yeah.
Well, when they met, yes. And then, like, he had a drinking problem. He was on the decline. She was on the up. Ultimately,
did she get as big as him?
Yeah.
I think it's Faith and Tim.
You think it's Faith?
I think Trisha and Garth are really not equal.
No, I agree with that. But I think Faith and Tim are not as big as George and Tammy were.
Right, right.
But they're Tim's really big.
Yeah.
I feel like there's one other country music couple that kept coming to mind. It would have been, like, Blake and Miranda.
I know. If they had stuck it out, they really would have been, like,
but
the next.
Tammy and George were only married for 6 years.
Oh.
And, like, the whole show is, like, you know, they were always, like, each other's one. But then when you look at their whole life story, I didn't think that they were. Like, they tried to make the case, but, like, she was married 5 times. She was so in love with George. Mm-hmm. But they were married for 6 years, and then she married someone else and was married to him for 20 years.
Oh, so he wasn't the one.
But the 20-year relationship was extremely nefarious.
Mm. Hate to see it.
Yeah. No, I don't want to spoil anything, but it was nice not knowing their story.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
Because I was shocked.
Maybe add it to the list of things, like, I say no and then I will, you know?
It's only 6 episodes. I was shocked by the way things went.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't just, like, boy meets girl.
Right.
June and Johnny Cash.
Right.
Oh, June and Johnny Cash are another
one. Yes, June
There's
and Johnny
so
Cash.
There's so much of that in country music.
It's nice. It's like a very family, like, genre.
And I'm sure if we thought long and hard about, like, just music relationships, like Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yeah. They're the first lady and president, or she's more the president and first man
of music, like, of music, of the music industry.
Yeah, and specifically their genre.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do Succession. I have just, like, never really felt more disconnected.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. I have never really felt more disconnected from my generation than I did last night going on Twitter and reading people's thoughts on Succession.
Oh, you know, about the Emmys, how they'll be walking into the Emmys for this episode?
Literally, people were like, I was in tears. This is the most profound acting. This is the best show on television. I was really shocked because I was really frustrated watching last week's episode where nothing happened. Or, like, it was like, maybe one thing is going to happen. And the whole episode, we're on the edge of our seats. Is something going to happen? We didn't even find out if that thing was going to happen this week. But something did happen. And the whole time I was just kind of like, he's not.
Yeah.
He's not. I'm like, this is a prank. He's testing to see who loves him the most.
I didn't think it was a prank. At a certain point at the beginning, I did, but then I didn't. It was weird that they never showed his body. So yes. I was like,
huh. It was misleading.
And then I was like, well, they'll revive him. And this was just like, oh, maybe a way to get the family back together. But then the fact that they actually did it was like the only interesting thing. So it's like they sat around the writer's table. They were like, we're going to kill Logan and we're going to make you spend the whole episode wondering if he's dead.
Yeah.
And that's going to win us an Emmy.
Yeah, I'm not understanding why everyone is so guffawed over this episode. Like, yeah, no, it was good to see all the kids, like, finally be human.
Yeah.
But that like, does not an Emmy make.
But, like, you were estranged. And those people on the plane, like, even though they're, like, they care about the business and they're there thirsty. To work, like, they worked for Logan and they supported him over the years and you made his last year a misery.
Yeah, no, I was not feeling anyone or anything. Like, Connor, everyone's pissing me off. And I don't know why they didn't show us his body or face. It was very
bizarre.
It's
giving like Bart Bass, like he's coming back.
Yes. I literally, and like the only one who went up to see his body is Roman. And like Roman knows that he's still alive and there's a whole
But that's
plan.
Like so not this show.
I know.
It's not a soap
it's
opera.
It's based in realism, which I appreciate.
If only it was a soap opera and dramatic things happened.
Yeah.
Instead, we're now like, so the only thing that's happened this season is that Logan has died because the first episode with the Pierce acquisition, null and void. Everything that happened in that episode is irrelevant now. Second episode, Gojo, will they, won't they back out? Irrelevant now. Because you know what? Now if they want to back out of the deal, the kids have to go and ask that guy for more money when literally that guy called Kendall and said, you will not get another penny out of me. And Kendall's been knowing that.
And
Kendall
sent
his dad to Switzerland knowing it was a moot point.
They also can't buy Pierce without the sale.
No. So they're not going anywhere.
They're being so dumb.
No, so now the show is about, did you watch it like coming up? Now the show is about who is the new CEO. Oh, and that was the question in episode one when Logan had his health scare. So in four seasons and in one whole year, you never figured out who's going to succeed Logan. And no one is up for the task. They need to bring in outside help.
There's really not one character I unequivocally like.
No.
Except Colin.
Connor.
Colin.
The driver.
The driver. And he like got one scene and it was like actually really sad. That's like his friend. And like, I felt sad for him. Besides that, like, I know this is going to be a hot take because everybody loves him. I fucking hate Cousin Greg. Like, he's so inept. I hate everyone. And I know the show is like satire. I get it. I don't
it. But it's not. Like, I know people say that, but it's not because like satire is really funny.
Funny.
And I know that. But, like, no one's laughing when you're watching. Maybe there's one good joke every episode. But you know who's making the joke? Logan.
Yeah.
And now our comic relief
is
and
gone.
Our any sense of, like, smartness is gone. Everyone else is so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
And even the people who work for Logan, at least they have, like, you know, business savvy. But they're all just, like, scared of what's going to happen.
That scene with Kerry was odd.
Well, she was weird when she was, like, cackling.
Smiling.
But they were just happy to be rid of her.
Yeah, no, and they were being funny, like, about her. But it was just weird. Like, why was she smiling?
I have no idea. But, like, she's irrelevant now.
And I do acknowledge that there's a lot that goes on in the show, like, in terms of business and then just in terms of, like, writing that definitely goes over my head. I, like, don't understand this show.
No, do you watch with subtitles?
Of course.
Then you'll understand. And here's what you need to understand. And everyone speaks like that.
Yeah.
In play?
Because like everyone's always nervous all the time.
No one is cogent except for Logan.
I've come to dread the show.
No, and now without my only character who I liked, I'll finish the season, but I'm not watching it week to week. Is that okay?
Like, oh wow!
The last night was painful for me.
Yeah,
and I was really tired and I wanted to go to sleep.
It was a painful episode. And Ben, who watches with me but doesn't know much, I like explain, but he doesn't know like the backstory. He's like, this show's terrible. I'm like, no, I know.
No, the plane, he was in the bathroom.
Yeah. And when Tom was like trying to convey at first what was going on, it was so painful.
How do these people reach these levels of success when they can't speak?
Communicate, yeah. No, it's a good question. So, but let's just give predictions. Who do you think takes over?
Mattson.
Oh, that would be like unexciting, but yeah.
Like, no one, it's not going to be one of the kids because they're each dumber than the next. And the only one who's smart is Roman, and Shiv and Kendall will never let him succeed them.
Yeah.
And then none of the worker bees, Jerry, Carolina, Hugo, or Carl, whatever.
Hugo.
It has to be an outside force.
Mm-hmm.
Tom thinks he's up for it.
I know. So does Greg in some weird capacity.
Who do you think?
I don't know. There's no, like, obvious choice.
No.
They're all inept, and they're all, like, just dumb and annoying. I, like, hate the show.
Hate.
Yeah. I don't know if I hate it, because, like, when you start to hate something, like, you always, like, have a way of making me then hate that thing. But, like, I think I hate it, because, like, it's bad.
No, last night was...
I just don't know if I'm so influenced by my older cool sister, who's, like, always smart, you know?
So sweet. But, no, you would have hated last night regardless.
Horrible.
Torturous. I'm happy Connor got married.
Yeah, me too. And you know what? It's nice.
It is nice.
Is it great? No. Is it good? Yes.
It's good.
It's good. Can't expect to be like so happy in every part of your life, you know?
No, and like she's growing to love him.
Yeah.
And she's really supportive of him.
Yeah, and she just feels, and they have like an understanding that like, yes, he has money and like she's craving that sort of stability, but you learn to love the one you're with.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It is. It's not like anyone else has a relationship.
So true. Okay, well, that's our show. That was a Succession recap. That was your TV recap sandwich.
Your TV recap sandwich. It was stuffed with lots of meaty TV recaps.
So meaty. Make sure to keep an eye on the Toast Instagram today because I will be posting the schedule. We have 4 guest co-hosts.
Buddy worked really hard on the schedule, so I let her know how
I was bothering like everyone I knew to get like good people, so just keep that in mind.
Is there a day in particular you're excited for? Don't say who, but just a day.
No, they're all like equally good, honestly.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch.
So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm in studio, video and audio with all of my guests. So make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, following us on Instagram. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast and Monday Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories you need to know every Monday, Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, if you're subscribing, this video, thumbs up. We're also available as back in the event. So it's Spotify, News, Stitcher, Public, Radio, Guest Box, all the ways within my hands. So wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have a great day. Happy Monday, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Love ya. Bye.